Christmas is coming, not far away now. All the trees, the lights, the food, the presents, the food. We mustn't forget the nativity scene, because that's really what Christmas is about, isn't it? Whether it's a picture or whether it's something like a model that has been made up, but that nativity scene reminds us of the reason for Christmas. We see the angels, we see the shepherds, we see the wise men, a few animals. There's Mary and Joseph. And of course, almost forgot, there's a manger there, and in that manger there's a baby. Sometimes it's just a doll. Sometimes it's hard to depict that baby that's in that manger. And yet when it comes to the bit of all of Christmas, it's that baby which is the most important of all. That baby lying in a manger. We've already heard in the readings Matt and Kyle read to us from Luke's Gospel. The time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger. And I want you to picture this evening, and maybe as you come up to Christmas as well, I want your eyes just to picture that manger. And not so much a manger, but that baby that was born that night as it lay in that manger. Because to be honest, if you looked at that baby, it wouldn't look a lot different from any other baby. I'm sure as Mary and Joseph would have looked at that baby, I'm sure they probably would have checked that there's 10 fingers and 10 toes. It really just looked like any other baby in many ways. No different. Just a baby. And yet, even though with our eyes, our physical eyes, we wouldn't see anything different. There's no halo around the head. There's no fancy light that's shining on the baby. There's no light that's coming from the baby. It's just a baby lying there. And yet, that baby was different from every single baby that has ever been born. That ever had been born. That ever will be born. That baby was different. You wouldn't see it with your physical eye. But yet it's true. He was different. And I just want very quickly this evening to look at three of the ways in which this baby was different. There's more than three, but I just wanted to pick out three of them. The first thing that's different about this baby compared to every other baby, not just most babies, every other baby is, this baby had come from heaven. Had been sent from heaven. Now you and I might think, well, yes, we know that, we've read that, we've heard that. But can you imagine if you're there and a baby that looks like any other baby is there, how would you know that this has come from heaven? This is just a baby. Even as that baby grew up, and we know as Jesus in his years of ministry, as he walked in that land of Israel there, he just looked like an ordinary man physically. But one of the things that he seemed to spend a lot of his time trying to convince people, trying to tell people, I came from heaven. I was sent from heaven. I didn't start in Bethlehem. I was sent from heaven. I read some verses from 1 John chapter 4. And I found it interesting to find these verses together. Let me just read them to you. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his one and only Son. But the next verse goes on. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then I go down four more verses, verse 14 there in chapter 4, and it says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. This baby had been sent from heaven. And in those few verses together that we read in 1 John chapter 4, we find that he's sent so we might live through him. He's sent to be a sacrifice for us. He's sent to be the Savior of the world. He's come from heaven. I love, we all love John 3:16, don't we? That favourite verse that God gave his only son. I've come to enjoy the next verse just as much. Let me just read it to you. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
God sent his son not to condemn the world. He didn't send his son to condemn any one of us. He sent his son into the world to save us through him. It was a real difficulty for Jesus as he was here on earth, as he walked about, because people found it difficult to understand. The religious leaders found it difficult, and the people themselves found it difficult. What do you mean you came from God? What do you mean you were sent? Over and over, Jesus was trying to help them. You need to understand, I came from heaven. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And over again, he tells why he came from heaven. I came to give life. I came to seek and save the lost. And I love the verse that we have in 1 Timothy, where he says, I came to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. And the first thing that we can see as we look at this baby in the manger, he's the only baby that has ever come from heaven. He's the only baby that has come down to this earth, that has been sent by the Father, and in obeying the Father's will, he came into this world. The second way in which this baby was different: he was born to die. This is linked with the first way. Now, what does that mean, actually? He was born to die. We know that death comes on everyone. Every baby that is born one day will grow up and will die. And tragically, even when they're still babies sometimes, they will die. Even in miscarriages, there will be death. Death comes upon everyone. So what's so different about this one? Well, this baby came to die for the purpose of dying. I scratched my head and I began to think, has any other baby ever been born with the purpose of dying? For the purpose of dying? You know, as parents, I'm sure when a baby is born, immediately their thoughts go to the life of that baby. He will grow up, he'll go to school, hopefully he will eventually leave school, maybe get a degree, he will marry one day, he will produce grandchildren, he will... Oh, the whole life is all met out before the baby's a few days old. Mm-hmm. Thinking of their life, the last thing that the parents will be doing as the baby is born and looking on that baby, wondering where they're going to bury that baby. They're not thinking about his death. They haven't brought this baby into the world for the purpose of dying. And yet this baby that lay in that manger had come to die. That was his purpose. He said himself, the Son of Man, that was a name that he gave himself, came to give his life as a ransom for many. I came to give my life. I was born to give my life as a ransom. What does it mean as a ransom? How is that linked with death? Is there something he could pay? No, not with money. It had to be with his death. Peter, I think, is the one that puts this best of all when he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about how we are saved from our sin. He says, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. death needed to be involved. The precious blood of Christ, Christ chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed now for your sake. This baby that was born in Bethlehem has now been revealed to us, and us here tonight, as the one who has come, who has been sent from heaven to pay the price for us, to die for us, to shed his blood for us, so that our sin could be dealt with and paid for, that we'd be redeemed, the price paid. When the time had fully come, God tells us, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. Born of a woman to redeem those. And that meant through his blood. I wonder if you can understand that. As we celebrate Christmas and as we look at this baby, which looked like every other baby, had come to pay a price. Price of death. Price of the shedding of blood. For me and for you. To save us. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You know, Jesus one time, just a few days before he went to the cross, before he went to give his life, to take our sin upon himself, and to take the punishment for that sin, just a few days before that, he said these words, "My heart is troubled." We can understand that. He knew what was up ahead. He knew he was going to die for the sins of the world. For your sin and my sin. My heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Should I ask God, my Father, to protect me, to stop me from having to go through with this? No. He says, for this is the reason why I came. Going to the cross. This is the reason why I was born in Bethlehem. This is the reason why I was sent from heaven to be a sacrifice for our sin. This is the reason why I was sent to be the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. When I am lifted up, will draw men to myself. He said that to show the kind of death he was going to die. A bit of a shocker for us to realize that our sin, to have it forgiven by a holy God, to be made fit for heaven, our sin has to be paid with by death. Often we think God doesn't deserve that. God says, yes, the wages of sin is death. But he said, I sent my Son to give his life for you. That's the reason why he came to Bethlehem. That's the reason why we have Christmas. Because God sent his Son, not to condemn us, but to save us from our sin. I want to read just one verse from 1 Timothy that helps me to understand this and understand how it affects me. Because maybe you're wondering, how does this affect me? This happened 2,000 years ago. God our Savior wants all people to be saved. Now don't you ever doubt what God wants. All people. That's you. That's me. There's not one of us left out there. I know quite a few of you here. There's a lot I don't know. But I do know that God our Savior wants you to be saved. God our Savior wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There's one God. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Did you know that? Do you realize that? That baby that was born in Bethlehem came to give his life as a ransom for you, went to the cross to take your sin on himself, to allow the wrath and the judgment of God for our sin to fall on himself, to take it for himself. Do you realize that? Did it for all people. I wonder where you stand before Jesus tonight. I want very quickly just to share a third reason why this baby that was born in Bethlehem was different from every other baby that has ever been born. This is the only baby that has ever been born in this world that is worthy of worship. Might seem strange. Surely there's a lot of very special people that we can worship. And yet it was Jesus himself at that time when he was being tempted by Satan that he said, "Worship the Lord your God only." God has made it very clear that he is the only one to be worshipped. And this baby that was born in Bethlehem, God the Son, is to be worshipped. You'll remember, and it was read to us this evening, how those wise men came. They came what to do? To worship. The star led them to the house where the child was. They came into that house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Now, it wasn't the nativity scene that they worshipped. It wasn't even Mary that they worshipped. They worshipped him. That child. That one who had come from heaven to die for us. They worshipped him. I looked through some of the passages of those early passages of the birth of the Lord Jesus to see how people responded to this baby when he was born. Mary, when the shepherds came and told her the news, you know, the angel said, "Today is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And they told Mary this. And Mary, you could see her face light up as she looked at the baby that she had given birth to. This is going to be the Savior of the world. And we read that Mary treasured these things and pondered over them. The shepherds themselves, we read that they glorified and praised God. Simeon, he praised God as he held the baby in his arms. "Today I have seen your salvation," he said, as he held that Savior in his arms. He praised God. Even Anna from the temple, she gave thanks to God. He's worthy of worship. Through his life, we find not a lot of people worshipped him. But there were some. There was a leper who knelt down and worshipped him. There was a blind man. There was a ruler. There was a Canaanite woman, a foreign woman. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead, and the woman had been at the tomb, and they'd been told, "He's gone, he's risen," and they ran away to tell people, and on the way running, they met the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, and what did they do? They fell at his feet, and they clasped his feet, and they worshipped him. As Jesus ascended back to heaven, what did his disciples do? They worshipped him. I want to ask a question of you this evening. Do you worship the Lord Jesus? Oh, I know you know about him. I'm not sure even what you think of him. Whether he's just someone who lived 2,000 years ago and has little relevance to you today. Or whether he's someone that we know is religious and I should be doing something about him. But do you worship him? Do you fall on your knees before him and worship him? He's worthy of worship. He's the only one. The only one that is worthy of your worship. God wants to make it very clear of what he thinks about his son that he sent from heaven. He sent him from heaven. Jesus took on the form of a man. He was obedient to death for us, even death on the cross. And so, God exalted him. God has lifted him up. He's given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There's a day coming when every knee will bow before Jesus and worship him. Every knee. God makes it very clear because he makes it very clear what he means by every knee. Every knee on earth. People on earth. Every knee in heaven. The angels too will bow before him. And every knee under the earth. It suggests to me that even Satan and the demons will bow and acknowledge he's Lord. He's worthy of worship. Every knee will bow and acknowledge. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder if you think about that day. It's going to come. And you will be there too. And your knee will bow too and worship him. And call him Lord. And recognize that he is Lord. But how will you do that? In shame? Because you never acknowledged him as Lord in this life? In shock? Because you just had no thought of him at all? Or will you gladly bow the knee because you have already received him as Savior? And you're worshiping him even now. Those wise men knelt before that baby. That baby that was different from every other baby. They knelt in front of him and worshipped him. You have a question to answer, not to me, but to answer to God. What do you think of his son that he sent? Who died for you. Who one day you will bow the knee to. I pray that God's Spirit will help you to bow before him, even tonight, and receive the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Can I pray? And as I pray, maybe you want to pray and talk to God too. Feel free to do that. But let's come before God as we come before his Son this evening. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for that baby that was born in Bethlehem that night. I want to thank you that he was different. That he did indeed come from heaven. He did indeed go to the cross and die for our sins. And he is indeed worthy of our worship this evening. Father, I pray that as your Spirit convicts us this evening, that you will give us the courage to kneel before him in repentance and acknowledgement of him as Savior and Lord, to receive him, to allow him to take away our sin and to bring us into your family. I pray, Father, for every head bowed at this moment, they will be aware of your voice as they talk to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.